and it's all about the money, and it's government sponsored, which means taxpayers' dollars. And they're getting rich off this. It's an easy, easy play for them. And that's why they have to silence us. But they're corrupting these children, they're destroying their lives, and they'll never know what true life is because they're gonna destroy it at such a young age. And that's why we gotta be vocal. That's why we gotta rise. That's why we gotta speak out.
Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, senior editor at The New American Magazine. We have a very special guest today, a friend of mine known for years, Dennis Cummins. He's a pastor at Experience Church in Puyallup, I'm trying not to butcher that, Washington State. Wonderful, wonderful congregation there, wonderful people of God. And he sent me something that really, really was concerning. This is a new report from the Washington State Attorney General's Office on domestic terrorism. And of course, that sounds scary. Everybody abhors terrorism. And yet it seems from a very rapid perusal of this document that they don't have terrorism in mind in the sense that we have terrorism in mind. In fact, as I read through this, I kept seeing over and over again, terrorism right next to online disinformation, as if online disinformation or what they consider to be online disinformation were actually terrorism and were actually violence. It looks to me, Pastor, like they're painting a big fat target on the backs of conservatives and Christians in Washington State. What say you?
Yes, they are. This is very troubling, and so many people are overlooking it. Many people are saying, "Oh, they'll never pass it." Pretty much like they didn't pass the reform on the sex education bill. Yes, they put that through. Defunding the police. Yes, they put that through. So many things that people said, well, they'll never get it through. And they get it through because they have a mandate, especially after this last election. And that's why this is on the front burner right now, because they know they have a mandate. They have the control of the House and Senate again. And so therefore, they're going to shove this down our throats with every ounce and means that they can, because they know they have to shut down the conservative voice, the voice with biblical reason, in order for them to propagate their agenda.
Yeah. So what were some of the elements of this document that you found concerning that you think the nation and the state of Washington need to be paying attention to?
Well, they're reframing the idea of what a terrorist is. And they use this term DVE, which is a domestic violent extremist. And when they start listing out what the definition of this is, you know, threats, coercion, intimidation, and like you mentioned, online disinformation. They use another word, government infiltration efforts. So if we have a conservative candidate that we want to get into office, that could be construed as we are trying to infiltrate the government with our views. And the last one is anti-government ideologies, also white supremacism. And so when you start looking at the definition, it points strictly to anybody that doesn't advocate what the government policies are on the left, their extremist agendas, especially the Rainbow Alphabet Company and that ideologue, because that's really what this is all about protecting. When you start looking at the other resources that they're citing as models in Canada and Germany, it's all about the ideologue of the Rainbow Agenda. And so to have any dissent towards whatever the government is trying to put forth, they're going to frame you as a domestic violent extremist, and you have to be dealt with it.
Yeah. And to me, that looks exactly like what this report is designed to do. It equates terrorism and white supremacy and violence with not agreeing with different versions of sexuality, not agreeing with different lifestyles, holding to what the Bible says. In fact, right here in the opening letter from the Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, it says right here, there is no place for hate in Washington State. And of course, we know that they view the biblical understanding of marriage, the biblical understanding of sexuality as something hateful. Of course, we as Christians know it's quite the opposite. It's as loving as one could possibly be. And yet that's what they're doing here. Pastor, you know, we've seen in a lot of countries that just yesterday I was talking about a lady who was arrested for praying silently in her head outside of an abortion clinic in the United Kingdom. We saw just a few days before that in Scotland. The police put out this big report where they're redefining pedophilia and child molesting as just, oh, they're just minor attracted persons, right? It's not a big deal. We see the arrest of pastors now in parts of Northern Europe, in Scandinavia, in the United Kingdom. We see the Crown Prosecution Service in the United Kingdom saying in a court filing that you cannot quote anymore certain verses of the Bible, like the list of people who are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, which, by the way, includes drunkards and adulterers and all kinds of other people, too. We can't quote this anymore. Are you concerned that we're moving in that direction in the United States, Dennis? And for people who are in conservative states and maybe aren't seeing this as clearly, give us some insight into what's happening in Washington state.
Well, when I travel, people ask where I'm from, and I say North Korea, Washington. and they look at me and I'm like, you have no idea what we're dealing with in the I-5 corridor. Now, the east side of Washington is very conservative, but King County is carrying the state in its liberal agenda. Pierce County, that's the county I'm in. And we are kind of like the firewall preventing this spread. But I don't know that we'll hold this from this point on without divine intervention. But the wheels are coming off and they're using Washington as the model for the rest of the states. I know, you know, Oregon is equally as crazy in California. It's the triclops of insanity with these three governors. But they're really using Washington because they know they have the bandwidth to push this through. And so I'm more than concerned. I really am more than concerned. This is a reality. And yet people are still in denial around me that this is a reality. But it's on our doorstep.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, when you see the governor of California quoting Jesus Christ on billboards promoting abortion, you know, we have truly entered into some freakish version of the Twilight Zone. It's really amazing. Pastor, when we get back on the other side of this break, I want to ask your thoughts on what Christians can and should be doing to prepare, what can and should Christians be doing in society today as we're confronted with increasing, I've heard people call it label lynching. I think it's a really good term. And so when we get back, I want to talk more about how Christians should be responding to this. Folks, stay tuned. We're going to be right back after these short messages.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
The truth is hard to find, but the New American has it. Check it out at thenewamerican.com.
Pastor, before the break, we were talking about this new report from the Attorney General. I guess it was released last year, 2022, where they're comparing terrorism and violence and white supremacy with online misinformation, with, you know, whatever they consider misinformation, which is asking questions about COVID or questioning the sexualization of children in schools. I agree with you. I think we're headed toward some really troubling times. What do you think Christians should be doing in this time? How should we be preparing? Should we be preparing at all? Or can we expect persecution in the years ahead based on the direction things are going? And how should we deal with that?
Yeah, I'm not a prepper, but I believe in being prepared. And I think there's a difference. Preppers are, it's very selfish. Where being prepared, we understand that we got to help out those that we can around us. And so we have to be prepared, but we have to use our voice. I don't like the term the silent majority, because it's been touted like, oh, this is going to be a great awakening, the silent majority. Silence is what put us in this place. And here's the funny thing. In this proposal that the Attorney General put forth, he's also talked about purging law enforcement from any of these ideologues, as well as hiring their own private security to protect the legislators that are putting these, passing these laws. And we have problems right now that we can't even pull people over for breaking the law. And so, and it's all because of ambivalence, it's because of ignorance, and it's because of a willful silence. And when I read the word, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And so I think a lot of people prior to the lockdowns didn't know they were in woke churches. And I always like to say, you know, here's the acid test. If you want to find out if you're in a woke church or not, just ask your leadership if they will be public about biblical marriage between one man and one woman, if they will stand for two genders and biblical sexuality, if they will stand for the right to life from the womb to the tomb, if they'll stand for the rule of law with responsible policing, and if they'll stand that we're all created equal. Those five pieces will ferret out the wokeness in any leadership and church, because it's not about what you believe. It's about what you vocally proclaim. A lot of people say they believe things, but they won't proclaim it. And the two, they need to intersect, our belief and our speech. And so I think it comes back to speech. We have to be vocal. We have to be bold and not ashamed of what God is leading us to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Pastor. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed, and I haven't heard a lot of people talking about this yet, but all across the country, there is these, and not just America, it's happening in Canada, it's Australia, UK, Europe. They're vehemently trying to demonize this thing that they call conversion therapy, this idea that somebody who was involved in the homosexual lifestyle can be liberated from that. And I've interviewed many people who were self-proclaimed transgenders who were deeply involved in homosexuality. And they say, Jesus Christ set me free from that. Well, you have legislatures, you have city councils all across the country saying, you can't say that. You can't argue that. As far as I'm concerned, it looks to me like we're just one step away from criminalizing the gospel, from criminalizing the informing of people that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that they can be transformed through the power of the blood. You know, at what point do Christians have to say, you know, we have to do these things? We have to say these things because this is true. Do you think we're coming to a time where Christians are going to have to, as some of the apostles in Acts 5:29 say, you know, sorry, but we can't do what you say. We have to do what the Bible says.
Yeah. You recall the conference we did, the Bible Prophecy Conference in Canada, mm-hmm. and that's where we met.
That's right.
And the thing I spoke about was the false doctrine of the church, the apostasy of the church. And that was the sign of rolling or ushering in the spirit of lawlessness. And if there's one thing we know, lawlessness will increase. But I also believe the church, the true church, the glorious church, will get better. We will get better. So even though lawlessness is going to increase, there's going to be a sifting of the true church rising to be a giant so that he can come and rescue his bride. I just believe that. So we are facing unprecedented times. I believe the lockdowns and I just say, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money with the transgender agenda, the medications, the puberty blockers. They're going to be pharma children the rest of their life. And it's all about the money and it's government sponsored, which means taxpayers' dollars. And they're getting rich off this. It's an easy, easy play for them. And that's why they have to silence us. But they're corrupting these children. They're destroying their lives. And they'll never know what true life is because they're going to destroy it at such a young age. And that's why we got to be vocal. That's why we got to rise. That's why we got to speak out.
Yeah. And unfortunately, speaking out on things like that, that's exactly what gets you labeled by some of these people, a hater, right? Telling a child that they may want to seriously not remove their genitals. That's considered now in many quarters hate, even though, as you mentioned, that's going to make them dependent on big pharma forever. That's going to prevent them having normal sexual relations in adulthood. It's going to leave them sterilized or never going to be able to have a child naturally. It's it's so sad what's happening. You are up in Washington State in the thick of it. You mentioned briefly the sexualization that's going on in the public schools. I actually wrote an article about the curriculum, the sex ed curriculum in Washington State. I think a lot of people out there who are maybe in Oklahoma, Nebraska, Montana, they're not even going to believe it. But give us some insight without, you know, crossing the line into stuff that's too graphic. And I know you wouldn't. But what are some of the things that they're teaching these children in the schools of Washington State?
You know, I pulled up the kindergarten curriculum. And I looked at some of the drawings, the animated drawings of positions of sex that they're showing these children. And so I couldn't even show them to my church. I had to put a QR code up. And I said, if you want to see what your kindergartners are learning, do the QR code, because I don't want other younger ones in our church to see it. That's how perverted it is. The main issue is to be able to get to these kids and make it a law that we can't intervene or parents can't intervene. And then put them on these puberty blockers right away, which can be irreversible. These kids will never know what God meant for them to have sex in the context of biblical marriage, because it will destroy their ability to even enjoy it, because of puberty blockers is going to destroy their life that way. And we can't have ambivalence around this. But if you look at the way the agenda is working, the lawless agenda, it's not just one area. They're hitting us on all fronts, 24 hours a day. I literally had to take 3 months off the summer intermittent because I was so drained of adrenaline of the fight that we'd been through over the last 2 years, because it's unending. And we need more people to rise up. And when we see the voting turnout that took place, the election results, it was terrible. It was terrible. We couldn't believe how many people did not vote and how many people did not vote God's way that proclaimed to be Christian. And that's why we are sexualizing our children. That's why we're taking advantage of them in the public schools. And so I'm telling parents, take your kids out of school. You got to do something, but get them out of that public indoctrination, and don't send them to college either.
Amen.
That'll destroy their life too.
Yeah. It's so sad what they're doing to our kids. It breaks my heart. And folks out there, you know, you think this is just isolated to Washington State. It's not. The Biden administration has now put out numerous federal policy documents saying that children need to be protected from their parents if their parents aren't affirming their new genders and stuff. They are laying the legal groundwork here to set themselves up as the protector of your children against you if you won't support surgical castration, if you won't support removing healthy breasts from a young girl. And you think I'm just making this stuff up? I'm not. It's in the federal policy documents. It's not just Washington State. This is something that's going to affect all of us sooner or later. Pastor, you do so much wonderful work in ministry. If you would just share a little bit of what you can about what you do. I know you're not just in Washington. You're all over the world. You go to Asia a lot. You just run some wonderful, wonderful ministry work for the glory of God and his kingdom. Talk a little bit about that, if you would. And how can people get involved? What should Christians be doing in this time as we move forward?
You know, in Asia, we work in Nepal. We do rescue work, girls that are high risk of being, you know, prostituted and exploited. So we do work there. I've been there about 14 years doing that. But here in the state of Washington, it's very unique. We work with a lot of legislators, city council, state senators, and we're very involved in helping people register to vote. We don't tell them who to vote for, but, you know, it's kind of cool, though, when you tell people what the Bible says that they should vote for, it kind of tells you who you should vote for. So it's kind of separated that line, but yet we're still being true to, you know, our role. We are very involved with our law enforcement because our law enforcement has been demoralized. People can't believe that our police officers cannot pull people over. If they turn the lights on, they come up behind you, they do not have to pull over. They can just keep driving. They turn the lights off and let them go. And we're not talking like traffic stops. We're talking that's a stolen vehicle. I did a raise of hands in my church of how many people had their car stolen before the lockdowns, before they changed the law with the probable cause versus reasonable suspicion. And just a couple of hands went up. I asked then how many people have had your car stolen this year? That was 2022. And I tell you what, I think we had about 15 hands go up just within this last year. It's off the charts. And it's because we have demoralized our police officers and removed being unlawful as unlawful. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And property rights are given by God. But if you can't protect those property rights and enforce people trying to break those laws, then they are no laws at all. And this is, again, all by design, all by design. We have people walking out of Home Depot with $900 or less of goods, and the police can't stop them. The stores won't stop them because they're not going to pursue it. And so we are being permeated on all sides up here. And I'm telling you, to the other states, if they're not careful, this is coming to a state near you. And that's why we have to be aware of what's going on up here, because this is the precursor.
Yeah. Well, what a joy to spend a little time with you again, Dennis. It's been too long. Best place to find you is at experiencechurch.tv. I know you guys are big into technology. Is there some way for people to watch what you guys are doing, watch your sermons, and get involved?
Yeah, just go to the website, follow us on podcast as well. On all those platforms, we're on every media platform out there. So yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And we're being vocal and we're being forward about the truth of God's word. And we are seeing people get saved at higher numbers than ever before. We never close the service without giving people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, brother, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thanks for what you're doing. Let's keep in touch and hopefully we'll talk soon. All right, folks, that was Pastor Dennis Cummins. He is at Experience Church in, not going to mess this up, Puyallup, Washington State. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter. Until next time, God bless you all.
Imprisonment. forced labor, permanent separation from my family, perhaps death. I knew what could happen to people who were caught trying to defect, but the watchtowers stood yards away. The possibility of a new life in a different world, one without tyranny, was within sight. The West. I thought of the rewards no longer crushed under the boot of communism. I would work and make money, no longer restrained by the chains of collectivism. I would say what I wanted, without fear of spies and informants nearby. I would be free. The frozen rain and Romanian mud seeped through my gloves and cloths. I fantasized about a fire burning in the wood stove of my parents' home. But I pushed those thoughts from my mind, closed my eyes, and waited for the cover of the darkness.
Get Defector, a true story of tyranny, liberty, and purpose by Mark Hobovkovich with Paul Dragu, a thrilling page-turner that will remind you how precious yet vulnerable freedom is. Available at shopjbs.org or Amazon. For a limited time, get 20% off your entire order using promo code DEFECTOR20 when you purchase DEFECTOR at shopjbs.org.